Yeah, g'day everyone, and welcome to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie here to recap what was State of Origin Game 1, but also preview another big round in the NRL. Of course, we are live and we can see the comments rolling in already, so thank you to those who are with us. Let me cross to my co-host, Winnie. How are you going today, mate?
I'm good, thanks, mate. I'll address results straight off the top because our same game multis or our multi record takes a hit because all three that I gave out lost. We had Queensland 1-12. But Taulagi was saving tries, didn't score one. Yeah. My no multi, it was in winning position at 18-16, but we couldn't have a team to 20. And then with 7 minutes to go, you guys know what happened. That hammer try, he brings the hammer down. And, you know, it hurts to not win a 9-25 multi, an 8-50 multi there. But when you get a finish like that, not many people saw it coming. People are quite surprised at how superior the Maroons were last night. We're going to talk about that straight off the top of the show. I think even the staunchest Queensland fans had to have their doubts when Flegler was sent to the bin that the Maroons were going to pull it out. But getting back to our bets, your try scorers went about as well as mine, unfortunately. Mm. But what I will say is I think we did a really solid preview. I dedicated a whole segment pointing out the coaching advantage, and that's like now very topical today, is the coaching disparity. We both tipped Queensland, and I know some people roll their eyes and say, well, of course Clarkie tipped Queensland. Not only did Clarkie tip Queensland, he had the exact score until Lindsay Collins morphed into Michael Jordan there. And I don't always tip Queensland myself, but I did yesterday. And they were underdogs, and they got the win. I said either team 1-10 was a best bet worthy. It was only $1.75, so we don't count that. But I said I like 1-8 as well. I know people contacted me and said they got on that. In the end, Holmes' late conversion was the difference between a margin of 8 or 10. So if you had either team 1-8, you're glad that Val Holmes missed that conversion. Look, I try to keep my emotion out of rugby league, out of my viewing and especially my punting, but I've always said Origin's the toughest for me because I do love my state, and you guys won't have to question for a second that Clarkie does as well. And so we are both pretty chuffed right now, but I want to acknowledge our New South Wales followers who are going to be hurting, rightfully so, the way that the final 10 minutes ended. We promise we'll only spend about 10 minutes talking about this because we've got another task at hand with 7 more games of footy to address. As I said, it hurts losing a game, a big game like that. But because it does hurt when you lose, that's why it is important to savour when you win. You do get to enjoy it. So Queenslanders, enjoy that. That was a huge win, Clarkie, and a special one too, wasn't it?
Oh, mate, so special. One of our best wins ever. And yeah, I almost like part of me is because it's Origin time, I'm going to be brutally honest, I hate the Blues. I would like part of me wants to get on here and just say like stuff you guys, you suck, and you know, just go down that path. But you know, it was a great game, and it actually was a bit awkward for me. I viewed this at my local pub, and me and my mate were the only Queenslanders there, so every time the Blues scored it was like decibel through the roof, and then every time Queensland scored it was just like literally us two in the corner like yay. So it was a very, very different reaction at the local pub here. In Queanbeyan, of course, which is on the border of Canberra and in New South Wales. Yeah, I had no luck with my take on toppy try scorers there. Had Holmes, and he got the ball out to Cobbo twice. Josh Adokar couldn't get that try to equal the all-time record there for the Blues. He had a quiet game. I guess my initial assessment, Winnie, to break this one down and give my first thoughts are, and this might be very brutal, but if the shoe was on the other foot there, the Blues don't win that game. And I know Blues hate it when Maroons say, oh, you guys don't get Origin, or Queenslanders, the jersey means more to us. Because it's not entirely true. Part of that is, you know, a bit of a piss take. Let's be completely honest. Both sides want to win as much as each other. But I just can't really ever recall the Blues having that much adversity and sort of coming back to win. Whereas for the Maroons, like I can think of quite a few games we should have lost and somehow we pulled it out of the bag. So I don't know if you would agree with that, but I think Blues fans would be hurting in that regard the most.
No, definitely. I mean, in saying that, the Blues nearly won this game where they did trail by double digits because they were down 10-0. So they did fight back from adversity in that regard. But you're saying, could the Blues win a game where they're trailing and they've given up a double-digit lead and then they get a man sent in the sin bin basically for the final 10 and now got to play with an with a player disadvantage, and not to mention how heroic this victory was for Queensland, but they were dropping like flies. You lose Gilbert very early. It shifts Cotter to play on the edge where he's not familiar. As DCE said, he'd never trained one one single minute playing on right second row. But that's where Cotter had to play, you know, the final 70 minutes, play the full game. And was outstanding. I think deserved man of the match. He was my pick as well. Although Carrigan, who we both had, was definitely in the mix. I wouldn't be surprised if he did collect votes in that game. And would Coruscant have been in the mix as the Blues won? Perhaps. But to finish the game with Ben Hunt and David Fifita in the centres, and you're playing with 12, and you're chasing the game and you have to score, and it's been a low-scoring game, and to come up with, you know, that breathtaking try by Hammer, but then obviously the exclamation point with Collins to Munster, it was nothing short of incredible. So we are all singing the praises of Queensland, and then everyone is tearing down the Blues and what they did wrong. And the truth is, it was a pretty close game, and a lot of Queenslanders, even though we've got belief in our state, we didn't think we were going to win with 10 to go. So really, how much of a gap is there between the teams? But I'll let you go whatever direction you want. Other major takeaways, because we're only going to dwell another 5 minutes or so, and then we'll jump in around 14.
And just to be completely honest and vulnerable here, I actually did say to my mate at the pub, "We've lost this as soon as Flegler got sin binned." I really thought this is just a bridge too far now.
I'll be honest, actually, my salty self was sitting on the couch going, "They wanted a cider. That's unbelievable. They've sent Flegler off there. They know game two's in Queensland. They know Queensland's likely to win that. They want to decide it." Like, that's how I was thinking, you know, woe is me, kind of having a little cry. Little did I know, I should not have written off Billy's boys.
No, you can never write them off. And you're right, it does get very hard from here, because not only is the Blues' recent record, I believe it's Suncorp, 3 from the last 16, that no Blues side has actually ever won in Suncorp and then gone on to win the series. And so we're literally looking at, they need to break history if they're to win from here.
Has never won at Suncorp if they were down.
Yes, so they've never leveled the series in Suncorp and then won game three as well. It's never been done before. There was a year where the Blues did win at Suncorp, but then they lost game three. So they've just never done it before. So it's going to be extremely tough for them, just being absolutely honest. And I'm not even being biased in that assessment. I want to ask you where the game was won and lost. I've sort of singled out one man, one player. Does anything jump out to you when I ask that question?
I wrote some key moments. I think Taulagi saving that try on Teddy had no right to save him. And I wrote a long post in the Tripod group for like my in-depth thoughts, because I just have too much to say on this game. I could do a whole pod on this game. It was crazy. So we went back and forth. Check out the Tripod Punters Tips Forum for a big discussion. Lots of people weighing in where New South Wales went wrong. And I talked about Teddy. Prime Teddy scores that 99 out of 100 when Queensland was at sixes and sevens and a loose ball came to him and the defence was retreating, and he basically got to meet the defenders at the try line. And with Teddy's agility and power, I mean, nobody ever stops him there, but Taulagi did. Taulagi also saves the try on Frizzell. I know it's controversial. Let's say Frizzell probably got that down if you want, because I think Abbey Coruscant knocked on. So look, if you're a Blues fan, you can't have it both ways. You deserve one try out of those two moments. You got one. I feel like that kind of cancels out. I think New South Wales' inability to stop Cobbo. Cobbo had more work to do for his try, especially his second try, which got the Maroons back in front, than what, like, say, Teddy had to do, or what and Teddy could have passed on his outside as well, and Adokar would have been in. Obviously, Cotter stealing that possession was enormous. That was a game changer as well. That was just prior to the Cobbo try, when New South Wales had taken the lead, but this allowed Queensland to get back in front. And another moment that not as many people talking about, Queensland winning possession off a short dropout when the Blues had forced a dropout and were leading 18-16. Getting that possession is what leads to the Hamiso try. Where do you think the game was kind of won or lost?
Well, I penciled in one man, and I penciled in Cameron Munster as my sort of where the game was won and lost. Now, I put him as one of my top performers, and someone commented, "How can you have Munster? He was crap for the first 70 minutes. And I responded and I said, well, the flip side of that is having Teddy as the MVP, because he was fantastic for the first 70, but in the final 10, he probably wasn't at his best. And that's the thing with Cameron Munster. He was cruising in that game, had some nice touches, had some nice moments. But when that game was in the line in the final 10 minutes and Queensland had no right to win, not only did he set up the hammer try by creating an overlap with Ben Hunt in the center, Ben Hunt out there with him and the winger off, and the whole side's mixed up at that point. Munster somehow comes up with that. He's then backing up the inside of Lindsay Collins, who any expert or anyone of footy would never have thought Collins was coming down with that ball. It doesn't happen in the NRL, rarely ever. I can't remember the last time a prop beat a fullback for the high ball. And for Munster to be there just in that 0.001% chance it happens, and if you watch the frame, every single Blues player, Winnie, is walking at that point, not Munster. He was there just in case. And those are little moments that can make or break a game. So I'd Munster for that. We are at about the 10-minute mark. We'll go one more Origin question, if you don't mind. Yeah. I want to know any...
Give me an observation question. What do you got? Yep.
I want to know your changes for game two. I know for the Maroons, Tom Gilbert looks like he'll be unavailable. Do you have a preference of who should replace him?
See how Nanai goes this weekend. Capewell, yep. I suppose. And Horsburgh. Yep. Although Horsburgh, whether he plays middle or edge, those are the guys. For New South Wales, I brutally actually said, and this is not doesn't have to be the end of Fratetti's rep career, but I would pick Dylan Edwards. I think on form, it's undeniable. Leads the competition in tackle breaks by some margin. Teddy, not himself, had a few moments he'd like back on the back of a patchy season. And you've got the Penrith connection there. Latrell's got to come in for the Blues, obviously. You know, does Olakuatu, someone like that, factor in? I thought it was curious. Hudson Young getting yanked. I'm just going to rapid fire through my other dot points I had. Hudson Young getting yanked after 30 was weird. Frizzell holds his own, not a match winner. Frizzell played 70 minutes. Hudson Young played 30. It was weird to me. And Martin playing on the left. I know he's scored, but he's naturally a right-sided player. Walsh and Hammer, I don't need to talk about them. Their selections were both questioned. They were both outstanding. I had the controversy. We already talked. Frizz try, 50-50. Give it to New South Wales if you want. The hand of Grant, okay, went against New South Wales. It wasn't conclusive. But Tedesco knocked on before the Blues' first try, and that was called stripped. It was never a strip. Tedesco knocked on in the contact. The Appy tries dodgy as, and the Gilbert sin bin also. I get it, but I really didn't like it, and I think that was pretty harsh against Queensland. I feel like it could have been a penalty without a sin bin. Then I had Freddie in the aftermath saying how disappointed he was in the performance. And I think that goes back to coaching. How do you lack the desperation of your opponent? How do you lack the intensity, the attention to detail, the want? And how can you not meet their level when you're the ones that were off the Origin Series defeat and you're the ones that have to go to the cauldron for game two? And my last thing is the changes is going to be fascinating. If New South Wales makes too many changes, what's everyone going to say? They're panicking. They're admitting all the mistakes they made. They've got no idea. And if New South Wales doesn't make enough changes, everyone will say, ignorance. How are you going to get a different result? You're keeping all these same players. So it's a tough one. What's your thoughts on, you know, what direction that the Blues go from here?
You're right about it being tough because the media is just so interested in generating clicks around Origin that no matter what you do, it's going to generate clicks. On the desperation that you noted there for the Blues, well, Freddie actually only used six subs, so he still had two in hand. I'm not sure why he didn't use all of his subs. It seemed like that might have been a good time to go to it. I thought the Blues looked a lot better when they were running holes, when in particular the Liam Martin try there, as opposed to the side-to-side movement. And Cleary did a lot of underball.
Those block shapes out of, yeah. It seemed predictable.
It's predictable, and I assume it's because it was wet. They were thinking they might catch a Queenslander lacking and get through the inside there, but they looked better when they hole ran. So I'm going to start Cameron Murray at back row. I'm going to drop Hudson Young out and bring Hamoli Olakuatu onto the bench. I feel like he could really generate X factor, but also a great hole runner there. Not that Hudson Young's not. I had Olakuatu all along, so that explains that. I'm going to give TPJ one more chance, but I'm going to start Big JP, Junior Bolo. I'm going to start him over TPG in that one. And for the Maroons, I've only got the one change. When if Tom Gilbert is indeed unavailable, which seems pretty likely with a dislocated shoulder, I actually am going to go Corey Horsburgh over Nanai and over Capewell, purely because Horsburgh played the one game at back row for the Raiders, looked excellent there. Stats didn't decrease at all. They actually increased, but Thomas Gilbert himself's not a noted edge player. He is a middle himself. So it's kind of a like-for-like swap for Queensland there. That's why I favour Corey Horsburgh. Yeah, I mean, we could talk all day for
a middle like Ruben Cotter did okay out there on the edge, didn't he? So you can, if you're good enough, you're up to the task, you can play anywhere. You never know what Origin's going to throw at you. There's a couple of other players I reckon are still in the mix, but I had them noted when their games come up because I do think on a weekend like this, where people know Blues jerseys particularly are up for grabs, some players will really be desperate to put their hands up. So, we're going to jump into round 14 now. I've got my best bets. Sorry, we did make you wait the first 15 to hear those. And we might even make you wait a couple of minutes longer because how about we throw to Tristan, a man that was at the Adelaide Oval yesterday, to give us his insights in terms of how the bookies went. And then look ahead to round 14.
G'day everyone, Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, just back from Adelaide, where I was fortunate enough to be able to go over and watch the opener of Origin, where as a big Queensland fan, I was very, very happy with the outcome. And geez, Adelaide put on a show. It was a really good event, obviously a different stadium to watch an Origin game, and there was a good crowd there. It was pretty close to packed, and everyone seemed to get into it. So really enjoyable, and it was a fantastic game. As I just touched on being a Queenslander, I was very nervous once a sin bin occurred. I thought that might have been the end of the road for the Queenslanders, but as always, they showed something and were able to come back. So high-quality game. I think it sets us up for a really, really good series now. Obviously, the series now moves to Game 2, where Queensland have opened as favourites, which is a little bit different to what we've seen in recent times. It's $1.68 Queensland, $2.15 New South Wales, and 3.5. We actually opened it a touch higher and at 2.5, and that's seen a little bit of a push for Queensland. So there's obviously a bit of conjecture over a few of the teams, and mainly on the New South Wales side of things. So we'll see where that ends up as we get closer to the game in the middle of June, and where the team sort of fall in that sense. It was a good result from our perspective. New South Wales were well backed in Game 1. The unders was well backed in Game 1, and the try scorers, whilst there was a few more points than expected, which sometimes hurts in those same game multis, we were fortunate with Cobbo and the Hammer both scoring doubles, which does cut back on a few of those multis. So from our end, it was a handy result. We don't have a great track record on Origin, so it was a double course of celebration for the Top Sport crew. We now roll into week 14, which is probably one of the hardest weeks to price from our perspective. As I touched on last week, when you've got Origin, you don't know the teams. The week before Origin, well, you do know the teams, but you got a lot of newbies filling in, where this week adds an extra layer of complexity where most of the guys have been named, but you're trying to make an assumption whether they play or whether they don't play and how fit they are. So that has seen a couple of big moves. The main one, the Warriors have moved out against the Dolphins, obviously with Gilbert getting injured there. It's going to be a pretty big move, I think, in the Titans-Rabbits game. They've got a couple of key players both backing up. And then also the other game, the Sharks against the Broncos, where the Sharks have seen a bit of support jumping over that key number 3.5 out to 4.5. So good luck if you're having a punt over the weekend. I think it's going to be an interesting weekend, and go the Queenslanders. Gamble responsibly.
And I just want to say really quietly, you can turn your volume down now. If you did have to crank it up to hear Tristan, sorry, that clip came through quite quiet, I think. Hopefully you guys did catch that. Now people turn their volume down, I can speak a little bit less hushed, and shall I project our best bets? Clarky.
Yeah, perfect, mate. Let's jump over to our best bets for round 14. Let's draw back the curtains. What have you got for us?
I have three plays. I like three favourites. I am going back to the well with the New Zealand Warriors, -7.5. They host my Dolphins in Auckland. I like them for a lot of the same reasons I liked them last week, although they failed. This week, you're getting back Dylan Walker and Egan as well, and the Dolphins will be missing both of their Origin stars. I just think there's too many reasons for the Warriors to put in a good performance off the back of the disappointment last week. And then I like South, sorry, against your Titans, Clarkie. Although the Titans are at home and off the bye, South have got a lot of key players. While not Latrell Mitchell, a lot of other key players that will be available in this one, and I think we'll all want to put in a big performance. And Souths are off back-to-back defeats as well, so I think this is a great time to jump on South Sydney, who also come in they don't come in off the bye, but playing a team of this ilk with a point to prove and with a lot of key position players, I think they're going to have too much for the Titans, whose Origin stars played bigger minutes than what Souths did. And then I'm going Cronulla, and I'm taking -1.5 in the first half against the Broncos. Again, Brisbane's named all their Origin players. Sharks are sitting second on the ladder, only have one Origin player, and we've just been talking about him in the comments. Nicho Hynes only played 11 minutes. So I think Cronulla, again, another team that's off a bye and at home, is actually going to be too much for Brisbane to handle, although I think Brisbane are the better team. And I should just reiterate, Warriors -7.5 is $1.90 just about everywhere. South Sydney -7.5, $1.90 on Sportsbet and Ladbrokes. And Cronulla Sharks -1.5 first half is $1.88 on Ladbrokes as well.
You know, I love the Sharkies bet there because the Broncos really struggled post-Origin last year. And let's be completely and brutally honest, their season fell apart. This year, they're in the top four, so they've got a little bit more breathing room. I wonder if Kevy is tempted to rest all of his players. Cobbo's already unlikely, but really rest those forwards as well and think that, you know, we've got bigger games coming up. We need to balance our season better, whereas Nicho Hynes seems very likely to play in that one. That's probably my favourite best bet there, and you know my least favourite. We open up Friday night. It's the Tigers v. the Raiders at Campbelltown Stadium. Sorry. For the Tigers, Finua Pole is in. Joe Offerhand-Gowie is out, obviously, because he signed with the Eels. Appy Coruscant is named to play. No word yet as to whether he will. That'll be the case with basically all the Origin players I reference here. Nick Kotrick on the wing for the Raiders. Albert Hopewadi centre. Jared Croker drops out. And Hudson Young is in for Corey Harawira-Naera as he continues his recovery. The line is set at -1.5 in the Raiders' favour. You see it that way, or you think the Tigers could be up for an upset here?
Well, this is a bit of a doozy, as Harry Potter says, I thought Raiders would have been a lock. So I'm going to say straight off the bat, this line is suspiciously low, and I'm not the only person thinking this. I've had people message me saying, what am I missing? The Raiders are only -1.5. We've got the Tigers in a wooden spoon battle. We've got the Raiders that just beat Souths and look like a legit final side. And despite that, and also the fact that Origin does not hamper the stronger team here, you've got Hudson Young as the only representative for the Raiders and only played 30 and is probably keen as mustard to get on the field. Yeah. Whereas you've got Coruscant, the Tigers captain, played 80, might not even play in this game. And if he does, he splits minutes with Simkin. So why are the odds so close? Well, Wests are at home in Campbelltown and they are off a bye. But I still look at it and I'm surprised that this line is only 1.5. So if I feel that way, why won't I make Raiders a best bet? And I'm going to be completely honest with you guys here. A couple of weweeks ago, my best bet was Raiders -4.5 against Manly. And I said, this just seems like a bit of a gift. It seems too low to me, disrespect to the Raiders. After I gave that best bet out, that line went down, and I never like it when a line moves against me. If a line moves against me and I find out a key player's out, I just say, look, that's bad luck, goes both ways. There was no player news. That line crept down to -3.5, and I could not figure out why the Raiders were such short favourites. And then you watch the game, and Manly wins by 20. And I'm not saying conspiracy or bookies have inside info or traps, but the thing is about the way I punt, if I think a line is wrong, but I know why a line is wrong because I think I understand why something is overrated or underrated, I'm confident. But when I think a line is wrong, but I can't figure out why, I'm wary. Like, who out there is tipping West? Are there people out there who think West will win this? Are there people out there backing West +1.5? I don't know any of them, and yet they're $2 to win. So I get that West are a confident footy side, and I loved them a couple of weeks ago when they were at home to North Queensland as a slight underdog. But they're a slight underdog here at home, and the Raiders are significantly better than the Cowboys. So reluctantly, I'm telling you, I'm passing on this game because Wests are a bit frisky and this line is a bit fishy to me.
It's fishy indeed, yeah. I'm going to tip Raiders if I have to. I think that it's a tight one to pick, and the Tigers have probably impressed me more recently. But over the basis of consistency across this whole season, I have to go Raiders in that regard. The Campbelltown Stadium influence. Now, Tigers have lost their last 6 in a row there, so I don't look at that too much as a big home advantage. But then again, it is all the home stats for the Tigers might be a little bit swayed because even their record at Leichhardt recently was horrible just by nature of their form last year and to start this year. The West Tigers have not defeated the Raiders at Campbelltown since 2014. So we're going back 9 years there. And the Raiders have won 9 of their last 10 against the Tigers. So they have a great rate there. But despite all those stats, Winnie, as you say, it just seems to be something about that I can't offer a play for that. What I would go looking at this one with some more interesting stats, I've said Jordan Rupp in the last 2 weeks because he just needs that one more try to hit 100. Last time when Alex Johnston went 2 weeks without, I said, you know, they always say in gambling and stuff that third time's a charm. It's kind of, you know, a hidden saying. And Jordan Rupp, this will be the 3rd week in a row I offer him as a tip. I'm going to go him to score his 100th try finally. And then I'm also going to throw in David Nofaluma. He requires just one try to have 100 tries for the West Tigers. Now, of course, he does have 100 NRL tries. Some of those came at the Melbourne Storm. We know he's a Tiger through and through. So I think that milestone will mean something to him. So yeah, my play for this one, Winnie, would be Jordan Rapana and David Nofaluma anytime. And if I'm correct, this will be our better same game multi. Am I correct in that one?
Yes, so I will have to cook a multi for this one. So I actually forgot that because of only the one Friday game, and I get into the lab Friday morning. So I never rush that multi. Always spend a good amount of time, but that's right, this one. So it'll be funny. And James asks, if Appy was out, would I be on Raiders? Look, if I could still get the 1.5 and Appy was out, but I dare say the minute that Appy gets ruled out, if that was the case, it goes to 3.5. And I tend to think he probably does play because he wants to show that kind of leadership. And sometimes they say it's not as hard to back up after 2 days as it can be after 3 or 4. So, yeah, I'm still torn on this game. That's why I'm not giving out a best bet. But I will find an angle, don't worry about it, for tomorrow night for sure. So check the socials for me to share that one out.
Final thoughts on this game. I like that take there from A Twist of Fate, that they did score 66 and they are coming off a bye. As our data shows this year, the bye does seem to matter pretty important. But on our Better Same Game Multi, if you guys want more NRL preview content, check out the Better YouTube channel where they're in the Fox League Lab. And if you need a sign-up link, there's one in the show description. But just make sure before you bet, think, is this a bet you really want to be making? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website. All of that information is also in our show description. All righty, and on to Saturday. We've got Super Saturday again. We've got the three games. So the Warriors host the Dolphins at Go Media Stadium in Auckland. I'm not sure what that one is, but the line is set at minus...
I think that's Mount Smart. That's the new name. It's hard to keep track. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't even know there was another one in... So formerly Mount Smart. The line for this one is -7.5 in the Warriors' favour. For the Warriors, they've got Wade Egan, Dylan Walker and Mitchell Barnett back, three huge inclusions. And for the Dolphins, the biggest news, we knew Gilbert was out already, but Hammer was not named. So same 17, they played the Dragons. We've got a best bet on this one. Maybe a chance to tell the punters a little bit further why you love the Warriors.
As I said, Egan and Walker are big ins, and New Zealand doesn't lose any key players from last week. I actually respect the fact that the Finns didn't name Gilbert or Hammer. At least you know what you're going in with. And just allow them the full recovery because it's a long season. You don't need to kind of overload players in the middle of the year. You always get that burnout if that's the case. Look, in fact, the Dolphins did a lot better than the Warriors last weekend. Clearly, the Dolphins were comfortable winners and the Warriors went down as a best bet, couldn't even win the game at home to Brisbane when I really thought that they had thrived in that scenario. And you guys know the Dolphins are my team, but clearly, I'm going best bet Warriors. I can only look to New Zealand in this one. And I'm going to partly excuse New Zealand's loss last week. I'm going to say that Brisbane was just excellent. Sometimes you play an opponent that really puts in an awesome shift and you're not going to show your best. Also think New Zealand didn't take chances. And I also think that when you get back your first choice hooker and a key utility, you played in a bit of a madhouse in Napier. Maybe that factors in. You come home to your familiar territory, or that doesn't have a familiar name. And you're off a disappointing performance, but you've got a really good head coach, which we both, respect what Webster's done this year. I think he gets the best out of New Zealand this week. I think they do exactly what I expected them to do last week, and I'm not going to want to miss out on that. And I know that the Dolphins have kind of punched above their weight this year, so you can never write them off. But that also means sometimes because they've covered the line a lot this year, that the line could be a little lower. We could be getting value. And on top of it all, Jeremy Marshall King with shoulder concerns, that would be as big of an out as Hammer or Gilbert. So all reasons why I will be on New Zealand this weekend.
Yeah, JMK is honestly, for me, close to buy of the year. If we're picking the New Zealand Kiwi side right now, he's my hooker, not Brandon Smith. That's how high I am in his form, to be completely honest. And I love your call about Wayne Bennett not playing the mind games and naming him just in case. He's the master coach, and all the other coaches can learn something here, not just because we want to know from a betting perspective, but, why pressure the players to play? It's a long season, 27 rounds this year. During the COVID break, the Rabbitohs, where Wayne Bennett was the coach at the time, he was the only coach to say, step away from footy and just relax and be with your family. Every other coach and team was FaceTiming in the morning. Have you had your protein shake? Have you done your 100 sit-ups? Have you trained as hard as you can? And look how fast and hard the Rabbitohs finished that season. Bennett knows how to time it, so I think it's a great move by him there. Going to go Warriors here. I think they should have beaten the Broncos last week. I think they had opportunities too, let me say. And I think they have an opportunity this week to really work on those things and show what they're capable of as a footy side. What's most important to me, and I guess I need to say this with the greatest respect to Freddie Lussick, Wade Egan is a much better hooker in the service that he gives Sean Johnson. So I'm going to tip Sean Johnson to have an absolute blinder this week. I really think he'll have a great game on the back of Wade Egan returning. Another big inclusion is Dylan Walker. He was up there as like a top five signing for the year, arguably, with the form he's been in for the Warriors. And he's played everywhere. Center, prop, lock, hooker, 5'8" for him. So that's absolutely awesome for him. I'm going to go Warriors here. My play is going to be Warriors 1-12. I just think that the Dolphins are a side that fight. And I think that no matter who they're missing, Wayne Bennett will have his side still fighting. So I'm going to take Warriors 1-12 as my play in this one. Then we go to the second Saturday game. It is my mighty Gold Coast Titans up against the South Sydney Rabbitohs. We're in the beautiful Gold Coast Cbus Super Stadium. The line is set at -7.5 in the Bunnies' favour. For the Titans, Tino and Fifita are named. Kieran Foran is out. So our most experienced player is gone. That moves Jaden Campbell to 6 and Keanu Kinney to fullback. Sam Verrills via the bench. Alofiana Khan Pereira is back. So Philip Sammy is in the centres. I just got to say, that's a lot of change. That is a hell of a lot of change in a footy side. That's half the spine changed. But we move on to the Rabbitohs. Obviously, we know Latrell's out, so Taff remains at fullback. Their origin players are named also Murray and Arrow. And huge news, Campbell Graham is back already from that sternum injury. And you'd have to think he wants to send a message to the Blues selectors that, I just think if they removed him from camp, he was 18th man. He would have been there, not Crichton. So I think he could have a big game here. Do you see it that way as well?
Absolutely. Graham, among several Souths players, I think could have a big game. So, look, your Titans are at home off a bye. You don't necessarily want to bet against sides like that, but here I am. And the reason is, despite the fact Latrell's out, I think you've got Cookie, who's still, sniffing potentially. Like, why would the Blues plan have been to bring Nico off the bench and play him at hooker? If you wanted to do that, then maybe you could have had Cookie on the bench. I suppose Hines covers outside backs, things happen, and things did happen, but it was still curious. Cookie still can't be ruled out, and even if he doesn't get picked, he wants to make a statement because Souths have lost the last couple of games, and that may have hurt his cause. Graham, same thing. Another Tongan heritage forward, I think he has his nose in front of Olakuatu, is Keon Kolomatangi, kind of a forgotten man. I think he definitely would have been in the Blues side if not for, I think it was a bad ankle injury sustained 6 weeks or so ago, but he returned last week and should be even better. And even Totola, you put him in the mix if they go a different direction and they still want that kind of punch and they just want a prop that can give them 20 or 30 really powerful minutes. These guys are all smelling that origin opportunity. And then you've got Jai Arrow and Cam Murray that both played less minutes than Tino and Fifita, so it bodes well for Souths in terms of their important players backing up. Jaden Campbell at 6, I mean, good luck playing in the front line. Still no Brimo there. I don't know enough about, is it Kinney you said at fullback?
Keanu
I know
Kinney.
He got a debut, didn't he? At Magic Round.
Yep,
right. But look, he's gonna be under a bit of pressure there. I think this is the type of game that even if Gold Coast are up for it and they haven't played at home for quite a few weeks, and I know they'll be really determined off a bye to put in a good show, I don't think they can hang with Souths. So that's how I see it. And before we get your opinion, which I'm very interested in, especially the kind of the force changes for the Titans, I've got a clip that's actually going to back up my best bets. And this is courtesy of our new show sponsor, WikiAI. Nicole is going to run us through a first try scorer for this match.
Hope you guys had a good time watching State of Origin. I obviously had too much of a good time. I've lost my voice. But the player that I really like for this weekend, Alex Johnston, $8 to score the first try against Titans. No Foran, no Brimson. Fifita or Tino could potentially not back up. And you know that Walker's going to get all the ball with no trail. He's going to go to that left side winger. AJ's paying $8 on BetArt to score the first try. You can check this tool out for free, as with everything else on Wiki. Just Google Wiki Linktree. Good luck, everyone.
Somehow thanks to Darren Lockyer for that tip. And how do you see this on Clarky?
Mate, I was just about to say, and somehow Nicole still managed to be louder than Tristan without a voice. the data comparison tool there for try scorers, it's just awesome by WikiAI. And as Nicole said, it's completely free. So Google Wiki Linktree and you'll find it there. Compare all the best odds for your try scorers. You're not giving yourself the best chance if you're punting without it, if I'm being absolutely honest. Now, let me get this out of the way. I think Souths, if they're at their best, absolutely they will beat us. So everything I'm going to say from this point is biased, but I preface it and I'd be completely real and honest with you guys always. On Keon Kolomatangi, well, Freddie has shown in the past when he will pick players based off one game. Tevita Pangai Jr. had one good game. Todorovic had one good game. Ado Carr literally had one game. They all made it in. So Keon has a big, big chance, might I say. But I think for the Titans, the focus without Latrell absolutely has to shift to Cody Walker. And what's dangerous for us is we're not the best defensive side, but Cody Walker, even when his forward pack has been beaten the last 2 weeks, has managed to come up with 3 try assists. Now, I actually launched a new Titans podcast this week, so I've done a really deep dive on this game, and I was shocked to find the stat. We missed the exact same amount of tackles as Souths, and we averaged the exact same set completion. You just wouldn't think that at all, and I guess that shows stats aren't everything in footy, but it completely shocked me when I saw that. Origin players backing up in this one for sure could be the difference, just because Dave and Tino are so important to us. Titans spine, I think the coach is really trying to fight fire with fire. We know the Rabbitohs' best attribute is their attack, in my opinion. But Keanu Kinney, is averaging 200 meters in reserve grade at fullback. He's had like 8 games, 7 try assists, multiple tackle breaks per game. And we know Jaden Campbell is a fantastic attacking weapon as well. So could be a play there. Our first home game since round 7. So I'm expecting a big reception. And we have won 4 of our last 5 at home. But let me get to the brutally honest stats here. We have not beaten the Rabbitohs at home since 2009. It's like 15 years. And they have
not even in a game where Fifita had a first half hat trick.
Oh, don't remind me. I can't forget that game. God, that was a painful loss. And the Rabbitohs have beaten us 7 games consecutively. So it will be really tough for us. My play in this one is Titans to win and Alofeana Khan Pereira anytime. Now he's back in the side. Final game for Saturday is Sharks v Broncos at PointsBet Stadium in Cronulla. The line is set at -4.5 in the Sharkies' favour. Nico Hines is named. I believe he'll play. Only played 13 minutes in Origin. Siosifa Talakai is back, but that means Connor Tracy is out. For the Broncos, all Origin players are named, but Cobbo had a hip pointer injury, and the NRL physio says it's unlikely you back up from that. So rule him out 99%, I would say. So you think Sharkies in the first half, you think Sharkies go on all the way to win it, and do you think they could cover that line, or you think it could be a bit closer than that?
Yeah, I'll explain why I went first half specifically. I had the same points. You've got 5 Origin stars for Brisbane. Who knows if they all line up, but Cobbo is very likely to miss, and Hines surely plays. And you're pretty lucky when you're Cronulla. You're sitting second on the ladder. You had only 1 Origin representative, and he basically didn't play in the game and will want to really put his best foot forward too, because the truth of the matter is, I almost took as a given if New South Wales lost game 1, the pressure would be on that have to start Hines in game 2. But Luai didn't go too badly. Luai have 3 try assists or at least a couple try assists. It wasn't Luai's fault that New South Wales lost. I know a lot of people don't like him. In any regard, Hines is definitely going to want to make a point because he didn't have a very joyful 13 minutes, to be fair, on the Adelaide Oval yesterday. This is one of those games, as I said at the top, I sang Brisbane's praises last week. I think they're the real deal. I think they're going to have a better season. Sorry, I'm just going to update the thumbnail. I'm still on the old one. Or is it?
No, that should be better.
Sorry, maybe my computer being slow. But I think Brisbane's better than Cronulla. I think Brisbane would have a better season if you can give me either of them. But I feel like this is one of those games where the team that's better for the whole year doesn't necessarily have the better week. Because Cronulla's off a bye, Cronulla's at home, Brisbane had to travel to New Zealand last week, Brisbane's got the players backing up, so I'm on Cronulla here, and the only reason, I think Cronulla's going to come out and start strong because I don't think they will have wasted that bye, that time to improve. I think it's already their second bye of the season. They also nearly lost to Manly last time they played, and a Fitzgibbon coach side, I think, will not be complacent, so I like the Sharks start strongly here, but to be completely transparent, I would play it at 3.5 on Cronulla for the full game if that was available. But since it wasn't, playing 1.5 in a first half when the full game line is 4.5 or 5.5, it's just the numbers. You're not going through the key number of 2, basically. So it's still worthwhile to me to play it in that way. And although I respect Brisbane, and I'm not saying there's no chance in this one, I'd be very surprised, as you said, they've struggled historically through an Origin period. Are they really going to win back-to-back games as an underdog either side of Origin?
Yeah, and Broncos haven't been the best away from home this year. I swear a lot of their great results were when even they were the away side, but they were still at Suncorp. I want to ask you, using your punting experience, let's say all the Broncos forwards are rested How much does that line move in your mind?
So all the forwards. So Flegler did just get a fine, and then you've got Haas and Carrigan. If you take those three out, in my mind, this line's instantly 10 in that vicinity, maybe 10 and a half. Yeah,
that's interesting because that could happen. I mean, I don't have any mail to say it could happen, but if Kevy is worried that the Broncos could fade late in the season like they did last year, maybe he could maybe he could make that drastic reaction and do that.
And I'm glad you point that out, because when you bet against a team that has more players backing up, you've got that greater chance that news comes out and your line improves. So there's obviously asymmetric risk by betting on the Sharkies now. It's much more likely that this line's going to be, you know, 10 and a half or 8.5 on the weekend than it's going to be Pick'em. And it might drop to Pick'em or Sharks minus 1.5 if Nico was, you know, sensationally ruled out. But there's so much less chance of that compared to the Broncos key net.
Yeah, it's almost like you're taking a bet on the bet as to who will play and who won't.
It is like that in terms of the risk that you've got to calculate. Yep.
I guess that would make it pretty tough for the punter, but I do think Hines will play. He did, as I said, he only did play the 11 minutes. So if he plays, then absolutely I've got to tip Sharkies just because I think he'll be disappointed with what happened. And to be completely honest, I honestly think Cleary would get dropped from that blow before Teddy would. Just because Brad Fittler loves Teddy so much, has him as captain. I'm not saying it will happen. I think it's still unlikely, but I don't think Nathan Cleary is 100% cemented. I could see a world where, especially if they lose game two, Nico Hines gets a chance in the seven.
Would be absolute insanity, but couldn't put it past Freddie. And I said this a week ago, guys, it was my bold take that I would have actually made Nathan the captain, because I don't think you should make a player captain who has not got a cemented spot. And I don't think Freddie's form this year justified a cemented spot. And here we are. And a lot of people are calling for Freddie's head, which is sad to see. I felt almost guilty saying pick Edwards, because I've always been a huge fan of Teddy. I'm not ignorant to what he's done, naive to what he's done on the highest stage, but it just doesn't pass the eye test to me this year. But if New South Wales drops their captain, sorry, we've reverted back to Origin talk, what does that say about them? What team has ever dropped their captain mid-series? So they're kind of snookered themselves in that regard now.
Yeah, you'd never see Gordon Tallis or Lockyer or Cam Smith drop mid-series. You wouldn't see it. And to be clear, I don't think that Cleary will be dropped, but I honestly think it's more chance that Hines comes into seven than Edwards comes into one, just because Freddie seems to love Teddy a lot. The Broncos have won 8 of their last 10 against the Sharks, and Ronaldo Mulitalo has scored 19 tries in his past 18 games at PointsBet Stadium, but the Broncos have not won back-to-back since round 8. I will say they've taken a lot of tough lessons, and there probably has been some reasons for some of those reasons not winning back-to-back, such as injury, suspension, unlucky moments, sin bins against the Storm, etc. But my play in this one, if Nico Hines does play, I'd go Sharkies 1-12, think it'll be a close one, and Mulitalo to make that record 20 tries from 19 at PointsBet for an anytime try there.
And I've got my mixed matchup built into this one. I've gone slightly creative again. I like 3 teams this weekend the most, the Warriors, the Rabbitohs, and the Sharks. So I'm just going to simply take those 3 teams to outscore their opponents by 20 or more. It doesn't necessarily mean all 3 have to win, although I see all 3 getting up. They've just got to, add all their 3 margins of victory up and or ultimate margins together. It's got to be 20 or more, and that's for a double up. $2 odds on Toppy. You can have up to 200 on that. And if you add those 3 lines together, you get 19 and a half. But I just think if these sides aren't covering the line, they're still going close. And I feel like we've got blowout potential in all 3 of my best bets this weekend.
Yeah, nice bet, nice value there too at $2. So that's only an average of 7 points for all 3 games. And you know, the Dolphins are without their best players. The Titans, we went over those stats. They haven't beaten the Rabbitohs at home in 15 years. And the Broncos won here. I think this will be the closest, but certainly, as we've touched on, there could be some big stars rested, which, you know, certainly would throw a huge spanner into the works. Roosters v Bulldogs at Industry Group Stadium in Gosford. Another stadium name change. I think that was previously Blue Tongue or something, was it?
That sounds right. Yep.
Yeah.
Or is that the line for Central Coast? But that is the one,
Central. Yeah. Oh, well, there we go. We're getting new sponsors on every stadium. The line is set at -10.5 in the Roosters' favour. Teddy and Collins are named. Now, I've got breaking news, Winnie. Collins is actually going to play fullback here, and Teddy's going to go to prop. No, I'm only joking. But they're both back. Maria Hargraves and Joey Manu are back as well. That means Matt Lodge drops out, and Drew Hutchinson goes back to the bench for the Bulldogs. Pengai Jr. and Fox are named, and Josh Reynolds is back on the bench. Double-digit line in this one. Roosters haven't been their best this year, but I'd have to say I like that line. I think they could cover that. Do you see it that way, or you think it's too big?
No, I was leaning to the Roosters. And, hey, we make our jokes and stuff, and part of it is just rubbing it into New South Wales fans because we're cruel like that, but you do the same to us. But, you know, down a champion at your own peril too. Like, none of us are going to be shocked if Teddy comes out, has a big game in this one, or dare I say it, in Origin 2. But we're not going to speculate about Game 2 just yet. Of course, we will do a Game 2 preview. This one's really interesting for Sunday afternoon. You've got both sides off byes. One that lost at the death in the Roosters in ridiculous fashion, and the other that won at the death pretty much. Sorry to bring it up, Clarkie, but that was the Bulldogs against your Titans. Both of these sides coming with a losing record, which is especially surprising for the Roosters, who were second favourites for the Premiership pre-season. I feel weird just calling the Roosters Sydney, but when you do as many pods and as much live footy talk as we do, you need like multiple names to refer to each team. Otherwise, it just sounds like you're repeating yourself too much. So I don't know, maybe I call them Easts, or maybe I call them the Chooks. I should say thanks for nothing, Dolphins, you know, giving us not many options. So I guess we've got to come up with something. So, yeah, the Dolphins. What did I say to you a couple of weeks ago, Clarkie, getting back on track to the Sydney Roosters? Everyone has a bad game. Even the best teams have a bad game. Teams do occasionally have two bad games. But when you have three bad games in a row, that's a true cause for concern, and Easts have had those. And we've talked about Teddy's form, much scrutinised, especially today. Suali's has not been much better for what he's capable of. Tupou's out. Brandon Smith's out. Radley suspended. Okay, so there's reasons to lack confidence in the Roosters. Despite all that, their forward pack still looks too strong for me. It looks menacing. Off a bye, they're going to be fresh. And I think after some humbling results, the Roosters big boys are going to bring it in this one. And the Dogs' weakness, if I'm being honest, is their pack. They've missed Thompson this year. He's barely played. Kickout was a massive loss. TPJ is in the reserves. I think he probably backs up. But still, I really struggle to envision how the Dogs could win this game. So I don't think – I think the Roosters are pretty safe, you know, head-to-head, like, put it that way. So I was definitely interested in playing the Roosters at the line here, and I'm figuring you're kind of buying low because the Roosters are on the nose with the punters. But I'm just going to share a little gripe as a punter, guys. I feel like these days more than ever, and it's been a trend for years, and I've been doing this for, you know, 9 years, the bookies just have less and less variance with their lines. You used to always have a game where the line would be around 10. Some bookies would be 9.5. Some would be 10.5. Even if a bookie was 10.5, you play the old line, you could pay 10 cents and get through a key number. And now it's like on all these games, every bookie's basically at the same line. So that's me just being full disclosure. I would have played the Roosters as the best bet -9.5, but I couldn't find it. And at 10.5, I'm just going to keep my discipline there. But that's my experience. I don't know how you guys are finding that. Is it just me? Or is other bookies copying each other and being less willing to take on any risk and stand out from the crowd at all? So strongest lean of the round was actually the Roosters -9.5, for what it's worth.
You know, in my job, I've worked with data engineers that do the AI thing. It's so easy to have like a script reaching to a server or a website and return you the results and then sort of tell you that, you know, every single other bookie is putting this at 9.5 and then automatically set yours to it and match their odds. Some of the smart dudes I've worked with could do that in like a day. So I wouldn't be shocked if the bookies have that technology as well. In fact, they almost certainly do. Let's be brutally honest, actually.
Yes, not many these days are originating their own line and sticking to it.
Yeah, they wouldn't shock me at all. I actually saw a bookie, company was a few years ago. They called out another bookie for copying all their stuff, apparently. Well, not apparently, I saw it on Facebook. I can't remember who it was, though. I think, Winnie, when you lose three games in a row, you go to your defense. And when you got a bye week and a whole week to sort that out, I think that will really help the Roosters in this one. And I just think the Bulldogs probably don't have enough points in them to win this one. So I'm going to go Roosters despite their recent struggles. And I don't know if you can see my notes or not right now, but my next three notes are all about Teddy. And it says, do not write off a champion. The last time there was outside noise with Teddy, it was against the Dragons. He scored a try and had two try assists and 200 plus meters. The Roosters have won 8 of their past 9 games against the Doggies, and Teddy has scored 5 tries in the last 4 games against Doggies. Manu is back as well, so that adds an extra layer and dimension to their attack, which can free Teddy up more so against the Dragons, where he was the focal point of their attack. Jared Waria-Hargreaves back as well is so important. Quick play of the balls, aggression in the middle, momentum, leader of the forward pack. Get the Roosters on the front foot. That brings Teddy into the game, absolutely. So I think not only will the Roosters be too strong, Teddy will be too strong. So my play here is Roosters 13+, and Teddy anytime try scorer. That's my play.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, Clarky. No, sorry. I'm tripping. That's a game we've got coming up. I've got a bonus tip. Probably giving it away now. Anyway. That's all right.
You have. I'll pretend surprised when you jump in next and everyone else do the same in the comments. We are at the Queensland Country Bank Stadium in Townsville. It is the Cowboys versus Storm for our next one. The line for this one is set at minus, I think it was 5.5. We'll get to that in 1 second.
6.5.
For the Cowboys, -6.5 there for the Melbourne Storm. The origin reps are named for the Cowboys. Jeremiah Nanai returns from suspension. And Semi Valame, he switched over mid-season to the Cowboys. Not much was made of it in the media, but he's named to make his club debut for them on the wing. No changes for the Melbourne Storm. Who have you got in this one? Because Cowboys have been a tough team this year. They haven't played their best footy, but they are 5 from 7 at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. So they do play well at home. You got them or you go on Storm?
What, they're 5 from 7? What do you mean?
And they're lost
this season.
5 wins in their last seven Queensland Country Bank.
Yeah, and would that include last year, or have they played 7 times at home already? They've probably played 7 already.
Yeah, we're around this 14, year, close to that.
Yeah. Okay. So that goes to show, and I respect the Cowboys playing at home. And I mean, last time they played at home last year, they didn't win. That was the prelim, which was a tough way to end a really strong campaign, as we know in 2022. And the Cows were close and no cigar, funnily enough, against Parramatta last game they played as well in round 13. It was a dramatic improvement on what we saw the previous round, which was the embarrassment at the hands of West Tigers. But Melbourne was idle last week. And haven't we talked a lot about teams off the bye? And haven't we referred to Melbourne and having that dud at Magic Round off a bye? In fairness, they played a red-hot South side. But what I also find curious that I've got to mention again here is that the Storm have already had their second bye now, while the Cowboys are yet to have one. I don't know how the draw works out that you're getting teams about 2 byes and some teams in the competition yet to have one. So no excuses for the Storm in this game. I mean, Munster and Grant have got to back up, but Taulagi, did you mention he may have had an injury? He got injured at the end of the game.
I can't remember exactly what it was.
He had to go off. Then, you know, Cotter has played the game of his life. Holmes played the whole game as well. So shed any extra light you can on those guys, Clarky. But then you've got Tal Malolo. I don't know what to do with that. He's named in the reserves for the second straight week. Does he play or not? I know Nanai's back from the suspension. I know Leilua is a big boost. It's his second game back this year. Lukey was out a few weeks. He's back. You know, Drinkwater, you go back earlier in the season. There's reasons why the Cowboys potentially struggled here and there. It's been a tough season, but it's too early to write the Cowboys off. And if they can win a couple of games as an underdog, they'll get right back in the hunt this year. And I think that the Cowboys can make a game of this. My lean was Cowboys +6.5. And then I went full circle and said, you know what? I'm not quite taking that because of the buys situation. When Melbourne has had 2 buys since round 9 and the Cowboys have had 0 buys since the season kicked off, is that freshness the difference late in the game where usually the Cowboys are strong? Is it the Storm that scores a try that seals the cover? My instinct tells me, although I'm staying off it, that it could be a good game and a rare game, I would say, Townsville Sunday afternoon footy game.
Yeah, it would be great conditions up there. And I think the players would love it at this time of the year in winter. I'm going to go Storm. I did have a little look what I could find for Murray Taulagi whilst you were breaking it down there. All I can find is on the NRL website. The Maroons lost Murray Taulagi to a head knock, and he'll be monitored in the lead up to his clash. I thought it was a knee injury, the way he was sort of holding it in the game, but head knock, we're told. So, look, I'm going to go Storm, even though Munster and Grant are post-Origin. Wednesday to Sunday will be a full 3 days rest, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I just think the Storm are really good at shutting down other teams' strengths. They just seem to have his knack to know exactly what they need to do to shut down the other team. No better example than the 2020 grand final with Nathan Cleary, when the Panthers had won or lost like one game all year. And somehow they just shut him down in that grand final. So I think in particular, their focus will be on Scott Drinkwater and Reece Robson. I think they've been very important to the Cowboys' attack in recent weeks. So I think that they'll absolutely nail them down. The Cowboys have missed more tackles than any other team this year at 489. In comparison, Storm have only missed 363. So that's 120 extra missed tackles in 14 games for the Cowboys. But I did say the Cowboys have a good home record. They have 5 from their last 7 there. But the Melbourne Storm have won 12 of the past 13 against Cowboys. So they've got a great record. My play in this one, tell me if you can get this multi. I'm not too sure, Winnie, but I'm going to go Will Warbrick, who has 6 tries in his last 8 NRL games, anytime try scorer, and Cowboys under 11.5 points. So what I want is the Storm to shut them down so well, the Cowboys don't hit 12. Can you get those sort of multis?
Yeah, it's definitely doable.
Perfect. That's my play for that one.
Could be $4 or $5 odds, something in that range. Probably $5.
Yeah, I think with the line, you know, at -6.5, relatively close, it would seem unlikely that Cowboys don't score 2. But I don't know. I feel like the Storm off a bye, I felt they really would have done their homework on Drinkwater in particular, who used to play for them. Bellamy knew how to shut him down. So, yeah, I think Storm can really keep the Cowboys to a low score there. I think it's a bit of a bold tip, but if there's value there, I'd consider it for sure. Final game for the round, where you've got the Panthers v the Dragons. We're at Bluebet Stadium in Penrith. The line is set at -15.5. If you guys are watching the show, you are seeing a Tigers logo there right now, for which I apologize.
It was your instinct, wasn't it? The line was so big and your instinct was to put the Tigers there because they've been the recipients of probably the biggest lines of the year.
Mate, it definitely wasn't that. We were flat out trying to get it up at 6:30 on the dot. So my apologies there. And if you're listening, you're probably thinking, what the hell are these guys talking about? All Origin players are named for the Panthers. For the Dragons, Ben Hunt is named, so Jaden Sullivan goes to the bench. Jaden Sewer is in. Jack Bird's out for the next 2 weeks due to the knee soreness. Toby Couchman dropped again. What's going on there? He's been awesome. But Billy Burns comes in for him. Huge line here. I think this is the biggest of the round, -15.5.
Definitely,
the biggest
of
the round. I honestly think Panthers could cover that, though. I really do. I think that the Panthers are almost... they've been so dominant for so long that we discount how well they're going. I'm backing them to cover that. Are you backing them as well?
Well, firstly, James says you're on the hot seat just like Freddie after another, attention to detail mistake there, Clarkie. But honestly, the man is the hardest working man in rugby league, Clarkie. So when you're pumping out hundreds of graphics, if not, easily hundreds a week, it's hard to bat at 100%. So it is Panthers favourites over Dragons. I cannot play against Penrith after they lost on Wednesday night. Well, sorry, they didn't lose, but not too far off in that statement. And I can understand one school of thought because I said something earlier that contradicts my opinion in this game, which is if you bet against a team with a lot of Origin players backing up, you've got that asymmetric risk that you may get lucky with some several key players ruled out. But I got burned by this way of thinking last year where I took the Knights. I think the line was virtually identical to this against Penrith, and I really thought it was a spot where the Panthers might rest. And I'm pretty sure New South Wales lost game one last year. All the Panthers played and then eviscerated the Newcastle Knights. So that wasn't fun going up against a full-strength Penrith that was in a mood. If they're in that same mood again this weekend and they all play, they'll win, 20-plus most likely. Clarky, I heard the words 13-plus before. I actually found Penrith 13-plus at $1.79 on Sportsbet. That's a really nice price.
Yeah.
That would probably be a best bet for me. But as you know, you've got to draw the line somewhere. What are you going to do? You say $1.79, close enough, but then everything becomes close enough. So it's not $1.80 or more. I won't give it as a best bet. But just like my Origin tip, either team 1 to 10, if you guys like the Panthers this weekend, I think that's about the best way to get at them. And I think you could play someone like Brian Toto to score a try if you didn't in Origin 1, because you'll get a refund if he doesn't play. And if he does play, most likely he's lining up alongside several other Origin stars. And not only are those all the reasons why I think Penrith is going to dominate this game, St. George had more turmoil this week. They've lost their target coach for the next few seasons and a major sponsor walked out as well. So I do like Penrith here. I considered even just playing the minus 14 and a half, but it's a bit rich for me when you factor in you just don't know who's carrying smaller niggles that aren't reported and the fact that Penrith could comfortably rest one or two and still win this game. So that's just a risk you run this time of year. My last tip that I'll give for the week is if you keep your ear close to the ground and you follow sources that report player personnel news, such as Clarkey, you may just be able to nab some value because a lot of these lines are going to be subject to change based on this, player uncertainty.
Yeah, you got to be quick, just like I got to be quick because we have hit the 1 hour point. Deja vu for me, Winnie, as you said, last year or whichever year it was, Panthers lose game one, smoke the team the next week as if it was revenge, and then they go on to win game two by big margins as well. So I think Panthers should breeze in here. They'll be disappointed from that Origin result. And arguably, can I be completely honest, the Panthers are, the Maroons are the best side in the world. You know, they could almost beat the Kangaroos if we could go, you know, like for like, if I'm being absolutely honest. Whereas the Dragons right now are probably the worst side in the NRL. So a lot of these Panthers players...
Thought you were going to say the world.
No, we couldn't go that far. we can't go that far. I was going to say a joke, but I won't say that. I think that a lot of these Panthers players have gone from versing the absolute best to possibly the worst team in the NRL at the moment. Panthers are at home. This is a thing that we just don't factor anymore, Winnie, because they're so dominant there. But they're 30 from 33 recently at home. They rarely lose there. And when they do, it's like to the Broncos by 1 point, to St. Helens only just, etc. They still complete the highest of any team, and they miss the least amount of tackles of any team. We don't talk about that anymore. That's amazing stats. They've won their last 5 straight over the Dragons. Dragons have lost all 7 away games this year. And as you touched on, there is more turmoil in the club. My play in this one is Panthers 13+. If you don't like the value there, pick a random, pick a Panthers player. Just pick a player. I mean, because I think they'll score a few tries. You'll have an option. Pick James Fisher-Harris or Moses Leota. Pick a player. That's my call for this one. Panthers 13+, pick a player. But at that point, we pretty much have wrapped up everything we need to for previewing round 14 of the NRL season. I'm going to go a little bit off script here, Winnie, and just say to the Tripod community, we're at the midway point of 2023 right now, and I just want to say thank you very much for welcoming me in with warm arms, and it's been a great start to the season. It's great that we're at the halfway point. Hopefully you've enjoyed me being here on the show with you guys, previewing and recapping with Winnie. I know I've loved being here, and here's to many more, hopefully, unless Winnie gives me the sack for my graphics.
No, I appreciate that, mate, and I will say in response that we appreciate you being here, and I think you do a lot of things people don't see, but for me, to have someone else steering the ship, hosting, and all the preparation that you do and how diligent you are, it frees me up to hopefully be able to apply myself and give as much, you know, dedicated punting evaluation and insights as I can. So I feel like you allow me to do what I do at my best. The results haven't necessarily gone as brilliant as they can, but we always give ourselves the best chance. Lastly, I will respond to some comments. Women's Origin is kicking off in about 5 or 10 minutes,
yeah,
but let's all go and enjoy it. We're finished just in time to sit down and watch it. I just don't have the in-depth knowledge, expertise to, you know, give you guys an opinion that's valid enough. So I'm sorry. I wish I could steer you into there.
Queensland by 30, Tamika Upton hat trick. The Blues just don't get
I believe the Maroons are $3 underdogs in the women's, so maybe they'll be inspired by the men, but I don't know if they'll win by how many, by 30. That would be pretty bold. But let's go find out, because that's our footy fix for tonight, guys, so get around it. But we do appreciate you all for tuning in with us live tonight.
Exactly right. Thank you very much, guys. We appreciate you.
Lego.
I was waiting for the Lego.